Philippians chapter 3 this morning. So Philippians chapter 3, we'll be in verses 7 through 14. So Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 14. And Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Father, again, we do thank you for the day that you've given us. We do thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together. We do thank you, Father, for the songs we've sung, for the special we just heard. Father, help us to truly be like the hart that panteth after the water brooks, that truly, Father, help our soul and our spirit to desire you above anything else. Help us to be thirsty for the things of God and hungry for the things of God. I pray that you would draw us unto you this morning. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd establish our thoughts. Take away all distractions, Lord, in our thoughts and our lives at this moment. Help us, Lord, just to sit at your feet as a body of believers, eager to hear from heaven, eager to be guided by you in our life, eager to be directed and convicted and even challenged and encouraged. Father, you know exactly what each person here needs this morning. I pray that you would take your message, that you would cause the Holy Spirit, Lord, to take your word, pierce our hearts with the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, to be conformed more to the image of Christ. Help us, Lord, to just continue to have joy in the journey that we're living and walking with Christ. And I pray, Father, that you would bring all honor, glory, and praise unto you, for you're worthy of all of it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the journey that you're on, that it is a constructive journey. It is a journey that is to continue to be constructed, to be built, to be enhanced, to be, built upon. It's as you journey through this life with Christ, there are certain things that should be happening in our life along this journey. And we'll see. Do me a favor, Matthew. Close that back door. That way the coolness stays in here. There'll be things in your life that we'll see that was in Paul's life, that as we continue this journey of construction that we're living, and again, Jesus is the master builder. He's the one that is constructing our lives, but we do have to make decisions in our life. What's valuable? What's not valuable? What do we desire more? And what's going to help us to be more devoted to the things of God? Because as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he's mentioned several things just in the verses that we read this morning. But if you remember, people whose lives were changed at Philippi, the Philippian jailer, we don't know his name, but he was suicidal, and Paul helped him not to commit suicide, but to not end his life, but to receive life through Jesus Christ. Lydia, the seller of purple, her life was changed. The woman that actually got Paul and Silas thrown in jail because he helped her, the unnamed young woman that was demon-possessed and was bringing her masters much wealth through her gainsaying, through her witchcraft, and through her fortune-telling and all of that that is demonic. And yet Paul here, he talks about several things that really are important for us this morning, because as we continue to get closer and closer to the return of Christ, there should be some things in our life and our hearts and minds that we understand do not need to have any value in our life. Jim Elliot, if you're familiar with Jim Elliot, a great missionary who lost his life as he was trying to reach some natives, some barbarians that the Lord had laid upon his heart, and he lost his life doing it. He gave his life. This is what he said before he had lost his life. He said, "He is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Say it again. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. In essence, he was saying this: no one can keep their life, but everyone can gain life through Jesus Christ. You know, the life, I can't keep my life, but I can gain life through Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot gave up his life so that others could gain life in knowing Jesus Christ. It's one of the greatest things that you and I can ever do is to give our life to Christ so that we will truly have a life. In verses 7 through 8, Paul gives us some things that he disvalues in his life. In verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." There are just some things in our life that we need to devalue. There's just some things that really aren't worth fighting for. They're not worth trying to hold on to. But what is worth holding on to is Jesus Christ. Again, just thinking about Jim Elliot, he did not care about his life. Though he had a wife, he did care about his life, but he cared more about the lives of others that would receive Christ as their Savior. When you think about Jim Elliot, who gave his life, there was not one single convert before Jim Elliot died. Him and the other men that were with him were killed by these natives, and the natives were headhunters. They killed Jim Elliot and his friends, and later on, Jim Elliot's wife would be the one to go to these natives and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think about just sometimes we think, oh, you know, somebody, you know, they, you know, their life, they were so young and they died. I think about my brother-in-law. I might have been talking to Peter this past week when we were camping, but my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, older brother, he was 28 years old when he died. 28 years old when he died, and I wasn't living for the Lord at the time. Sandra wasn't living for the Lord. Her other brother wasn't living for the Lord. I mean, we were just living in our own life. But when he died at the young age of 28, that really opened my eyes to the fact that death has no regard to age. I thought at my age, I think I was 21, that, you know, I'm going to live till I'm 80, 90, thinking about my grandfather in his 90s and just, oh, you know what, I'm going to have a long, happy life. And when I get older, I'll get more serious about God and things of God. But when my brother-in-law passed away at such a young age, it really caused me to start thinking about life and to start thinking about the things of God. He had such a good attitude. I mean, I had one sister, wanted brothers, never had brothers, but he was a big brother to me, and he always had a good attitude about everything, even about the cancer, even about the treatment that he was going through. He just had a great attitude. Says, "I'm going to beat this, no problem." He actually started getting back into church during that time and just getting his life in order. And then just suddenly we got a phone call that the experiment treatment that he decided to let the doctors experiment on him took his life. And it just was a phone call that I wasn't expecting. It was a phone call my wife wasn't expecting. But his death was used in my life, in my wife's life, in her other brother's life, in my sister's life, her husband's life. I mean, his death impacted other people's lives to get serious about God and the things of God. So when you think about some things that God takes away from you, don't try to claw and hang on to it. Let God teach you the value and the disvalue in some things in your life. Paul says in these two verses, in verse 7, but what things were gained to me. Remember, Paul talked about he gained wealth off his religion because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, he was a wealthy man. He was a religious man, but he was not a saved man at the time. But he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. There are just some things in our life that we need to devalue so that we can value Christ more. How much do you value Christ in your life? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Again, this is Paul speaking, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You and I have this new life in Christ if you're born again. If you're saved, trusting in Jesus Christ, you have a new life. The old life does not need to hold value anymore. Some people try to hold on to the old life. They try to hold on to what they call the glory days. Some men get to a certain age and they want to regain their youth, and they'll buy sports cars and they'll divorce their spouse and get a 20-year-old and all this garbage that they do because they're trying to regain their youth. Listen, if you are saved and you're a child of God and you're born again, the old life should have no more value. It's the new life in Christ that has ultimate value, that is richer than anything else. But Paul says that he disvalued religion. A lot of people put a lot of stock in religion. Don't put stock in religion. Don't put your faith in religion, because it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And Paul found that out on the road to Damascus. His life was all wrapped up in his religion. He thought he was doing God's service by killing these Christians who was going against his faith, going against what he thought was right. So Paul gets to a point in his life, he says, I count everything but loss. Everything is loss for the excellency of Jesus Christ. He devalued religion. This is what Philippians chapter 3, you just back up a few verses, verses 4 and 6. Though I might also have confidence, Paul says, in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, Paul says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul says, look, I was as perfect as you could get as a person. I mean, I followed the law to a T. I mean, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, I'm out of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, I was circumcised the eighth day. I mean, my life started out right, and it continued to be right in the eyes of man. But Paul realized, again, on the road to Damascus, it wasn't about religion. Though he was right in his religion, did everything right, his life was all wrapped up in his religion, yet he did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The very one whom he was persecuting, because Jesus would say, it's hard for thee to kick against the prick. Because Paul would say, who art thou, Lord? He says, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Because Jesus takes it personally, he takes it as an offense when his people are persecuted. Because whatever we've done unto anybody, we've done unto him, is what Jesus tells us. But Paul disvalued religion because religion never helped anybody, all right? Never helped anybody. What has helped is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Paul even disvalued relationships because he says he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now, in comparison with his relationship with Christ, he devalued other relationships, meaning his relationship with Christ was the most important relationship in his life. We know that he had a relationship with Timothy, Titus, two sons in the faith of his, that he would be their mentors, encourage them, and write both of them a letter. We know that he impacted the lives of people, and people loved him because of his sincere compassion and love for them. But again, when it comes to your relationship with Christ, all other relationships should not have a high value as your relationship with the Lord. Again, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 15. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't love your family members. I'm not saying that. But listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 25. And there were great multitudes with him, and he, Jesus, turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, listen to what Jesus says, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life. So Jesus isn't teaching hatred towards people because he even says, and his own life. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Because some people will try Jesus. I've met plenty of people who tried church and have said, well, I tried the Bible, I tried church, it just didn't work. Some people will come to, there have been couples that have come to church to try to get help for their marriage, but because they don't want the help that's offered, they go away. They go on their merry way because they think just showing up, that Band-Aid will help their marriage. People are looking for a Band-Aid instead of results. Again, when Paul talks about counting everything but loss, all right, we know religion doesn't profit anybody. Relationships do, but again, one relationship should be valued more in your life than any other relationship because your relationship with Jesus Christ is the ultimate relationship. It is a relationship that will help all other relationships. It will help you. Your relationship with Christ will help you to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. Again, if we do not value our relationship with Christ above all other values, and looking at the words, the strong word that Jesus used in Luke 15, hate, that's, I mean, again, it's not, I don't hate my wife, but you know what? I can't be a good husband, a great husband, if I don't have a great relationship with Christ. Because Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. And what is a disciple? A disciple learns from the master. You and I cannot have the peace that we need in our life and the contentment and the love that we need without the relationship with Jesus Christ being the ultimate relationship. People are looking for relationships in all the wrong places. Again, Paul disvalued religion in his life. He disvalued relationships above his relationship with the Lord. Again, he loved people. He interacted with people. But again, he only could accomplish what he accomplished in people's lives because he had a great relationship with Christ. Again, it's not about coming to church and sitting in the pew. Listen, until the Lord takes my voice away, or I die, or the rapture, whichever one comes first, I will continue to say, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Too many Christians are dancing with the devil and not walking with Christ because they think they will not falter. They think they will not fail. They think that they're smarter than someone else who has failed, someone else whose life has been destroyed by the devil. If you do not value your relationship with Christ, you're on the road to destruction. You cannot change someone else's life. You can only help yourself. Then you can help somebody else see that, you know what? A relationship with Christ really is profitable. Relationship with Christ really does transform you and give you the power you need to have victory in this world. Again, there in Luke 15, Jesus said that in order to be his disciple, truly be his disciple, and be a devoted disciple, all other relationships have to take second place. Martha was very stressed, very overwhelmed, and very put out with her sister Mary. As they had invited Jesus into their home, Martha does what she would have done with any guest in her home. She goes right to serving, right to preparing a meal, trying to make it a very pleasant visit for Jesus. And she sees Mary just sitting there, not helping, not doing anything. You know what it's like to sit there and watch somebody else not do anything, not give any input. You're doing all the work and you feel that frustration coming up, swelling up inside your heart. And she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell her to help me. Bid her to help me. But Jesus would respond to Martha and say, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things. She was so full of the care of doing, she had forgotten to do what Mary and Jesus said. I'm not going to take it away from her. She's chose the better part. Yes, serving is important. Serving Christ is important. Following the Lord is important. But we can't even do that properly if we don't spend time sitting and listening to what he has to tell us. And Jesus would bless Mary. Mary chose the better part. She chose to just take some time and have a relationship with Christ. Many people, many Christians are cumbered about serving and doing, and they're missing out on the greatest part of the relationship, and that is listening to the voice of God speaking to their heart. In John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, the Bible tells us that the demons, they know and they tremble. They know there's a God and they tremble. But you and I have something that the demons can't have. You and I have something even the angels that have been faithful to God can't have. And that is a relationship that has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You realize that the only reason why we have a relationship and can have a relationship with God is because he's the one that desired it. From the beginning, he has desired to show men and women his love, his compassion. He has had that desire as he walked with Adam in the cool of the garden. He's had that desire that he would say that they would name the child Emmanuel, God with us. Because God wanted to not only dwell among his people, but dwell in his people. So there were some things in Paul's life that he devalued, but there were some things that he desired. There are some things, I mean, again, when I think about my own life, I think about different things in my life I had to get rid of. know what? You get rid of the bad stuff, but you got to replace it with good stuff. And Paul had a desire for some things in his life. Look at verse 9 through 11. He says, "And be found in him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Paul desired his new position in Christ. He left everything before, all his religion, everything he thought was right. He put all that behind him, and he desired his position in Christ. Because you and I have a new position in Christ. We are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new creatures in Christ. This is what Ephesians 2 and verse 12 says. That at that time ye were without Christ. There was a moment in your life, and maybe right now you don't have Jesus Christ. You got people listening online. You got people that will be listening to this later. But there was a moment in your life, if you're saved, that you didn't have Christ. There was a moment in your life you realized you were missing something, and that something was Jesus Christ. Nobody gets saved without coming to the realization that they're missing something, that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That is the worst place anybody could be in their life, having no hope and no relationship with God in this world. Because without God, there's nothing. Hell is not a place where it's going to be a party for people. That is such a lie from the devil, because hell is the opposite of who God is. God is peace. God's love, God is joy. I mean, the brightness of God's glory is what's going to light up eternity, light up heaven for us, not the sun, not the moon. So if you take God out of the picture, take God out of the world, you're left with darkness and hatred. You're left with loneliness. You're left with absolutely nothing. And that's exactly where the devil wants people to be at. That's why he is blinded so many people, and he tries to keep people in his clutches. But Jesus Christ has the power. He has the power to redeem people through his blood. But again, he says, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But Paul and you have experience. You have that new position in Christ, but do we desire it? Do we desire that position we have in Christ more than the things of this world? Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This new position we have in Christ is a position of righteousness. It's a position of contentment. It's a position of forgiveness. It's a position of fulfillment in our life. We actually have a relationship with Christ. Do you desire that on a daily basis? Again, there are people that desire to be married. There are people that desire to be loved. There are people that desire relationships, and they find themselves, some people find themselves going from relationship to relationship to relationship because they can't find the right relationship where the person will love them unconditionally. But Jesus does. We want to desire, like Paul, desire that new position, desire that new purpose that Christ has given us in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I don't know, some of us probably understand this. You know what it's like to realize you're missing something when you're missing it? when it's after, when it's been taken away from you and you realize, whoa, I should have took better care of that. I should have took more interest in that. I should have, when something is gone, whether it's a loved one that you didn't spend enough time with, you kept putting it off, and they finally pass away. Maybe a vehicle, maybe some material thing. But if you've been alive long enough, you've experienced life long enough, you know what it's like that once something's gone and you can't get it back, you kind of regret the things you didn't do. God gives us an opportunity every day to desire the things of God, desire the construction He wants to do in our life. He gives us an opportunity, you know what? To evaluate the things in our life and to evaluate what I think is more important in my life. The TV screen that a lot of people spend more hours in front of than they do with their spouse or their children. Some people value their work more than their family. Some people just value other things, recreation, more than their relationship with Christ. Let me encourage us this morning and challenge us this morning, regardless of how long you've been saved, regardless of where you are in your spiritual walk with God, to desire it more. Because one day you and I are going to stand before our Savior. And guess what? The life we're living now will be completely over and we can't redo it. It's best to do the things that God's given us to do now, to desire this new position that we have in Christ, to desire the new purpose we have for our life through Christ. Philippians 4:13 just reminds us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In Romans 9, verse 1 through 3, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, this is Paul speaking, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. You understand what Paul's desire was? He had such a deep relationship with Christ that he said, if I could take the place of the people of Israel, if I could exchange places and go to hell for them so they could go to heaven, he says, I would. You know, that's kind of hard to understand. In fact, some of you say, I doubt Paul really meant that. Because we know what it's like when people say things they don't really mean. But I want us to understand that when you have a deep relationship with Christ and your desire is all about Him, you truly do come to a place where you want someone else to be saved so bad that you're willing to take their place because you want them to be saved. And you can't, we can't understand that unless you have that deep relationship with Christ, because isn't that what Christ did? Didn't He take your place on the cross? Didn't He take the place of everybody on the cross? He sure did. And when you have that relationship with the Lord and you desire the things of God, Paul, remember, Jesus wept. He wept because the people were rejecting Him. He wept and He told the people that He had come for them. He kind of used a hen kind of an example and said, I wanted to be like a hen and gather you under my wings, but you wouldn't. They rejected Him. And Paul, he understood the rejection because they weren't, everywhere Paul went, people would reject him, reject his message, but he understood they weren't rejecting Paul, they were rejecting Christ. They weren't rejecting Paul's message, they were rejecting God's plan of salvation for them. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, being a witness that this truly was Paul's desire. This was his true emotional feeling that he wanted his brethren, He wanted his family members. He wanted those that he grew up with, those that he knew, even the strangers that he did not know in Israel. He wanted them to be saved. When was the last time we had that strong desire for someone's life to be changed because our life has been changed? Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are living in misery because they're not desiring their relationship with the Lord. They're focused on things that aren't right in their life that Christ can change. But Paul had this new desire for this relationship with Christ and a desire for the new purpose in his life. Before his life had no purpose. No purpose whatsoever. And that's why he was killing people. Because his life had no purpose. His life was full of misery. But when Christ came into his life, he found a new purpose. A new purpose to live for the Lord, which gave him a new perspective in life through Christ. A life that displays the truth of the resurrecting power of Christ in that life. Paul's new perspective. A life that displays the truth of the resurrecting power of Christ in that life. This is what he means when he says in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. It's a life that displays the truth of the resurrecting power of Christ in that life. Does your life, does my life display the truth of the resurrecting power of Christ? It should. It should. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again, this journey, it's a walk. We are to walk in the newness of life. And along this journey, there are rabbit trails. There are rabbit trails that your adversary, the devil, wants you to take. But there's a straight, narrow path that God's placed your feet upon. And along this journey, along this path, there are temptations to go along a different route. Sometimes there will be a friend wanting you to go a different way. There will be relatives wanting you to go a different way. Co-workers, religious people that want you to go a different way. But Paul had this new perspective that, you know what, he was going to remain faithful to the one who was faithful at dying for him. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says this, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you feel Christ living in your life? Paul did. Because again, look, it's not religion. So many people are hung up on church attendance, which church attendance is good. But that isn't a relationship. That's just something we do. A lot of people are hung up on praying. My wife was talking to somebody recently, somebody that is an acquaintance of ours, and talking about praying for someone who is going through some cancer treatments and stuff. And this lady made the comment, you know, I'm praying my rosary just as much as I can. But she really believes in that. Her faith is in that, in praying the rosary beads, that that's going to help. But we know it doesn't. But what does help? Praying to the one who hears our prayers. Praying to the one who can change a situation, heal somebody. Again, when you think about Christ living through us, if we truly do allow Jesus to live his life through us, things are going to be different in our life. We're not going to like the same things we used to like. We're not going to want to go to the same places. We're not going to want to hang out with the same people. Things will be different because Jesus, on this journey, he's doing a construction in our life where he's building us up. He's changing us more into his image. But Paul said this, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How did Paul know that Christ was living in him? How do you know that Christ liveth in me. Because you feel, you see, you hear, you know, because your life is being changed, you're being drawn closer to the Lord. Things of this world don't have a hold on you like they used to. Because the closer you get to Christ, the less the world has any allurement in your life. You don't desire the things of this world anymore the closer you get to Christ. But guess what the opposite is? When a Christian gets further from the Lord, can't lose their salvation, but when they decide to just not read their Bible anymore, not go to church, not to pray, just live their life, well, they're getting further away from the Lord. And guess who's right there to help them? The devil. He's right there. Oh, yeah, come on, you don't need that. You're doing fine. Everything's great in your life. And before you know it, their life is miserable. Paul said, Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You and I should see Christ working in our life. We should see him living through us because our life is being changed. But listen, Paul devalued some things in his life because he desired his relationship with Christ more. He desired the new purpose. That's why Paul was able to devote his entire life and finish his course with joy, because his desires changed. His desire was for Christ now and the things of God. In verses 12 through 14, Paul shows an unwavering devotion to the new life he has in Christ. And you and I can only experience the blessings of God with this unwavering devotion. And we can only get to a place where we receive a crown of righteousness as a reward for our unwavering devotion. Very quickly, in verses 12, not as though I'd already attained, because we haven't attained to it. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. There's lots of things people follow after in this life. Follow after entertainment. Follow after recreation. Follow after relationships. Things that do not satisfy eternally. Things that do not last. There's pleasure in sin for a season. It does not last. But Paul says, either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So in Paul's early life as a Pharisee, he thought he had attained. He thought he was perfect. Everybody else was beneath him because he was a Pharisee. But when he met Christ, he realized, I'm beneath everybody. Because Paul would later say of himself, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm not even worthy to be an apostle. It's only by the grace of God I am who I am. So Paul realized in his relationship with Christ, man, that's a high standard that I can't reach. And I'm trying to get there with the Lord's help, but I can't attain it. And no one will attain it until they're in the presence of the Lord. But again, Paul's unwavering devotion in these verses. In verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A lone desire is not enough for a real transformed life in Christ. There must be an unwavering devotion to that desire. Someone just has the desire to be more like Christ, but they never strive, they never try to do anything, they never try to let Christ really work in their life, it doesn't do anything, right? In verse 12, Paul, he had a dissatisfaction, not as though I'd already attained. He wasn't happy where he's at. Let's ask us the question. Are you happy where you're at spiritually in your life? Are you satisfied? We shouldn't be. You might be in a good place. You might have been enjoying your relationship with the Lord. Wow, man, this is great. I mean, God's just doing things in my life. I mean, I just see an answer to prayer. I mean, it's really encouraging me, but we should want more. Somebody who has a career career or the company. I hate always using myself for example. I just remember my senior year in high school getting a job because of my wife's brother getting a job at a medical supply company. So high school, I'm working afternoons up until midnight, working this medical supply company, working in the warehouse, you know, filling boxes, shipping them out to nursing homes, hospitals, things like that. That is not where I wanted to stay. I did not want to stay in a warehouse where, you know, there's no air condition, working in Mississippi, 100 degree temperature, 100 humidity and all of that. So you know what? There's got to be something better. And I tried and I worked my way up and worked my way up into a position of a purchaser. But you know what? I had to do something about it. I couldn't just, you know, have the desire to move up and then never do anything about it. Well, it's the same. It's amazing how we will put a lot of work into things in our life, but when it comes to the spiritual, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, sometimes we don't put much work into it. And then we question why God doesn't do anything for us and why God doesn't answer this prayer. Why am I still struggling with this sin or this habit? Well, if we don't truly desire and don't put effort into it, I mean, the first effort is found in Hebrews 11:6, right? We're to come unto God because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that have that desire. Again, we are on a construction journey. God wants to do things in our life, not just purge away sin, but he does want to bless. He does want to add things to our life. He wants to see our life being full of contentment, full of joy, full of dedication to him, full of a desire to live for him. He truly does want to do great things in your life. You and I have to follow after. Again, Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Is there still a desire in your heart to get closer to Christ? Is there still a desire in your heart to get to know God better? Paul said, I want to know his sufferings. I want to know the power of his resurrection. His life's already been changed. He says, I want more. I want to know more. Don't allow yourself to get to a point to where you don't desire your relationship anymore with Christ. You know why so many marriages break up? Because somebody or two bodies, they stop working at it. Because it takes two to work at a marriage. I feel sorry for the ones that do work at it, the other ones don't. But listen, when you think about the relationship that's more important than an earthly marriage, it's a heavenly marriage. We're a spouse to Christ. Right now in your life, if you don't have that strong desire to get closer to Christ, cry out to the Lord and ask him to give you that desire. Ask him to give you that desire. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm like, everything else is important to me. Look, I'll be honest with you. It's kind of silly, but I was getting really hung up on my chickens and my garden. That was my thought. Always thinking about, okay, how can I do this? How can I do that? And the Lord said, you're thinking too much about that. You're right. There's nothing wrong. But when something takes more of your attention, more of your life, more of your energy away from your relationship with him, then it is a weight. It is a weight, it's a sin. Because nothing should come between our relationship with the Lord. You should be seeing yourself getting closer to the Lord. You should still be seeing in your life God saying, you know what, I want you to get rid of that. Nothing wrong with it, it's not sin, but why don't you get rid of that? you should still see some change. It doesn't matter what age you are. There still should be some change that you see happening in your life. You know what? And it's good. It's good to know that God is still working our life, still showing us things that he wants us to lay that aside. Go and stand, and we'll close with this. Remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. Oh, I've done all that. He said, okay, well, sell everything you have, take up your cross and follow me. He couldn't do it. And the Bible says he had great wealth. He was very rich. And he could not part with his riches to take up a cross to follow Christ. Because honestly, I mean, if we visibly had some gold blocks over here and $100 bills over here that equated up to $10 million. And right here we just had an old rugged cross. And over here was Jesus Christ standing. And we're all standing over by this wall, looking at all the money, looking at the cross, looking at Jesus. And he says, choose. Some would choose Jesus. Some would choose what was right in front of them, the wealth. But those of us who have a deep walk with God, a deep relationship with God, we understand that when you choose Jesus, all the provisions come with it. You may not be a millionaire, but he provides everything you need. He's the most important thing that we should be desiring, and that should still be a strong desire to this day, until the day you die and the day I die. Just ask the Lord, Lord, would you continue working in my heart? Lord, would you continue helping me to desire you more than anything?